Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure on this Friday, November 21st, to welcome a guest to the podcast. Today we have reading for us Vince Blackerby. Vince Blackerby is our Director of Operations for one more month. He has been on staff for 8 years and a member of the church for 46 years. Vince, we're so grateful for your ministry here. We can't wait to talk more about life and faith at the end of the podcast. But first, would you read God's Word for us today?
Absolutely, Mary. Thank you for having me. I love to participate in this. Our first reading is going to be from the Old Testament, Isaiah 62, verses 1 through 5. This is him talking about Zion with the Israelites. "Because I love Zion, I will not keep still. Because my heart yearns for Jerusalem, I cannot remain silent. I will not stop praying for her until her righteousness shines like the dawn and her salvation blazes like a burning torch. The nations will see your righteousness. World leaders will be blinded by your glory, and you will be given a new name by the Lord's own mouth. The Lord will hold you in his hand for all to see, a splendid crown in the hand of God. Never again will you be called the forsaken city or the desolate land. Your new name will be the city of God's delight and the bride of God, for the Lord delights in you and will claim you as his bride. Your children will commit themselves to you, O Jerusalem, just as a young man commits himself to his bride. Then God will rejoice over you as a bridegroom rejoices over his bride." Next, we're going to go to the New Testament, reading from Acts 26, verses 19 through 32. This is Paul with his lengthy court with King Agrippa, Festus, and the Sadducees and the Pharisees. "And so, King Agrippa, I obeyed that vision from heaven. I preached first to those in Damascus, then in Jerusalem and throughout all Judea, and also to the Gentiles, that all must repent of their sins and turn to God, and prove they have changed by the good things they do. Some Jews arrested me in the temple for preaching this, and they tried to kill me. But God has protected me right up to this present time, so I can testify to everyone, from the least to the greatest. I teach nothing except that the prophets and Moses said would happen, that the Messiah would suffer and be the first to rise from the dead, and in this way announce God's light to Jews and Gentiles alike." Suddenly Festus shouted, "Paul, you are insane. Too much study has made you crazy." But Paul replied, "I am not insane, most excellent Festus. What I am saying is the sober truth, and King Agrippa knows about these things. I speak boldly, for I am sure these events are all familiar to him, for they were not done in a corner. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know you do." Then Agrippa interrupted him, "Do you think you can persuade me to become a Christian so quickly?" Paul replied, "Whether quickly or not, I pray to God that both of you and everyone here in this audience might become the same as I am, except for these chains." Then the king, the governor, Bernice, and all the others stood and left. As they went out, they talked it over and agreed, "This man hasn't done anything to deserve death or imprisonment." And Agrippa said to Festus, "He could have been set free if he hadn't appealed to Caesar." And now from Psalms, we'll read Psalm 131, verse 3. "O Israel, put your hope in the Lord, now and always."
Thank you so much, Vince, for joining the podcast and reading so beautifully for us. Thank you also for agreeing to do one last podcast while you're on staff with us. We're going to miss you so much on staff. And one thing we all agree is that we're going to miss your Bessemer stories. In staff meeting, every quarter or so, each person has to give a testimony. And Vince usually incorporates a Bessemer story. So would you tell us one of those stories to start out our interview?
I will. However, I will say This is probably going to be a story you have not heard.
Even better.
It is better. It's one that I really couldn't, and I talked with Wayne about it, trying to find a spiritual connection. I really couldn't find one, but it's my favorite Bessemer story. So I'm going to tell it. Now, you're familiar with the group of guys that I grew up with, and everybody here has had those friends. It was guys by the name of Doug, Roy, and Fred, and we did everything together. I mean, everything, whether it be sports, playing cards, playing board games, whatever it is. Probably the reason that we all got along so well together is our talents were different. Our personalities were different, and it really helped us bond together. Doug was very smart. He graduated second in our class in high school. Roy was a very talented artist. Fred was a great writer. We did a lot of athletic stuff, but Fred is an interesting person. He was probably the least athletic of us, but he loved athletics more than any of us. So this is based on that. We would play a lot of golf, and Fred would be my partner when we would play golf. And so we were playing one day, and those of you who play golf on the podcast understand, with people of different talents in golf, there's a handicap system where every shot is very important. And so Fred realized this, and we would always be very competitive. So we were playing golf, and we were at the back part of the course, about the farthest from the clubhouse. And the hole we were on had traditionally been a real moist place. It wouldn't drain. They've added a lake since then. But we were hitting our shots to the green. Fred's went off into the woods. And so we went over there, all four of us, to look for Fred's ball. And back there in the woods around the perimeter, it was a dried-up creek bed. And Fred's ball was sitting up really good. And as competitive as we were and as important as every shot was, I told Fred, I said, you know, Fred, you can take a stroke and drop off. But I said, I think you can hit that ball out of that creek bed. It's all dry. And so he was all fired up. And so as we turned to walk back to the green, we saw in the corner where I, Fred, jumping down into the creek bed, and we heard this holler. And we turned around, and it couldn't have been 2 seconds, and Fred's standing on the bank. Now, we saw him jump in. And so we went running over there, and Fred's standing in his sock feet. And we looked down, and all that's left down in the creek bed are two holes where his shoes have been buried. They're completely buried. And I don't have to tell you, a group of 14 and 15-year-old guys, we were rolling on the ground. We were laughing so hard.
No.
It was so bad, we had to take a 9-iron and dig his shoes out. And as we walked around for the rest of the match, he left a dirt path everywhere he went.
I bet he had to throw those shoes away.
I think he probably did. And I don't think I told that in devotion. Couldn't really come up with a theme for that. I told Wayne that story, and I said, you know, I guess it could have been things aren't always what they seem, or expect the unexpected, but that's one that got left out. But that's my favorite.
Or maybe the Lord rescues us from the pit.
It could be. Yes.
You have so many gifts. Not only do you manage this facility at Mount Brook Baptist, you can also sing at a funeral if we need you to, or fill in for Kelly on a Sunday morning. Please tell me that you're going to be continuing on with the choir.
Oh, yes.
Okay. And I want to know how you got invested in music and in the choir.
I don't know. All my life. I probably sang in the adult choir when I was 15, and I haven't missed a year since then. So it's just something that I enjoy doing. I thought that was one way to give back to the Lord. That was honestly and selfishly easy for me. So that's pretty much why, yeah.
Over the past 8 years, as you've worked at Mountain Brook Baptist, what is one of the biggest wins that we've had as it relates to being the director of operations?
Oh, the big win is no doubt it's trying to keep our church more secure, and a lot of help from Sharon with that. And it's unfortunate that, you know, things go that way, but I just can't imagine us before that not having officers here, not having a lock system, emergency lock system. I'm really pleased with the way that's gone.
Say more about that, especially on the second floor, if people don't know what our system is.
Yeah, we added a magnetic lock system that we can control. I can control it by software. Sharon can too. That allows us to lock and unlock doors at specific times. Those of you who have FOBs understand what I'm talking about. But it gives us an opportunity to lock the building down if we need to in an emergency. And it's a lot more convenient for us because before we did that, it was all a key lock system, and it was uncomfortable trying to work with that. And you didn't have as much control either.
Right. Okay, let's move into family. Your family is growing. You've added a daughter-in-law and a son-in-law. You have a grandson and another grandson on the way. Tell us about your growing family.
Yeah, Ben married Rachel, and they have Jeb, John Ellis Blackerby. He's 4 months old.
Are you just smitten with him?
Oh, yeah. He's a joy to be around. I tell you, he really is. It's a joyous time. It really is good. And then Joya married Andrew Hackney, and they have a baby boy that's due in February. So we get to do that all over again. We're really excited.
So exciting. And then tell us more about Elise. She's such a beautiful companion in ministry. Do you guys have some exciting plans for retirement?
Oh, yeah. We're settling into a new home now, so we'll still be doing that. I love to read. I'll be able to have more time for that. We want to do more traveling. Artwork, I did a lot of that in college. I'd like to do a little bit more of that, but Elise is such a help. I mean, she's my life. She's my everything. I really, and most of your people know what this means, I outkicked my coverage with Elise. When we were in high school, she's 2 years younger than I am, and I wasn't the most socially active person in school, and she was very popular. And so she was best friends with my cousin. So that's what we got. We went on our first date, a double date with them, and it was really something. You know my desire to not partake of mayonnaise, okay? And so when we ordered our food, we ordered the salads, and told the waiter, no, I don't want any dressing on my salad. I can't eat mayonnaise. And if that were a movie, you'd hear the angels singing in the background.
Yes.
We knew it was meant to be.
That is so fun. Vince, one personal story that I want to share is that you helped me, my nephew, and my mom immensely when he was in an AutoCAD class in high school, and he had to draw some kind of like cell phone holder. And I got involved because my mom didn't know how to do the program. I learned the program, but I got to a point where I was like, I cannot draw. So what am I going to do? And my nephew and I were like FaceTiming and Zooming, trying to figure it out. And I talked to Vince about it one day. Do you remember this, Vince?
I do.
Okay. And blessed Vince Blackerby helped me draw this cell phone holder, right?
It was a holder.
How did you go about it?
Well, first of all, that was a lot of fun. I know you were apologizing, but it was a lot of fun for me. And what people don't realize in engineering, which is what I did before here, I'm very familiar with this. I mean, one of the first things you do when you're in first year of that is being able to visualize different perspectives of objects. And that's exactly what this was. Now, unfortunately, I'm old enough that there was no AutoCAD in 1974, so it was all hand-drawn. And that's what I did for you. But, you know, I learned AutoCAD as the years went on.
I remember now, yes, you did like four different perspectives, and
yes.
I was like, I could never do that. And I will have everybody know, my nephew passed. Not just passed, I think he made like an A or a
B. Great.
And it's all because of you, Vince.
Oh,
and so
super.
I'm grateful for what you do at church and also what you do as a friend.
He had the talent to do it back in the recesses, so that's good.
Let's talk a little bit about how you do your work. You're such a hard worker, and I see you integrating your faith in your daily decisions. What has been the compass by which you do your work?
Well, I think members come to all of us for help, whether it be the ministerial staff or in my situation. And I try to stop whatever I'm doing at that time to help them. They either have a question, they need to get somewhere, they need to know what to do about this, that, or the other. And that's really what drives what I do. I remember Hoyt Wilson, and I have trouble a lot of times if they say something to me. I said, look, you're going to have to send me an email. My memory isn't as great as it used to be 8 years ago. I probably won't remember. And Hoyt would always take a little pad around and keep it in his pocket. And when somebody would say it, he'd write it down. And, you know, it's the same thing. I tried that, and I told Janet I tried that for a little while, and I couldn't even write fast enough to do it. So I had them send emails. But it's pretty much just servicing the members, yeah.
Which, if you look at our core values, people is at the center, and that is such a testimony to your work that you stop and you see the person before you and you try to help the need. Do you have a life verse or a verse that you'd say is your favorite?
Oh, absolutely, with no hesitancy. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And I'm not alone with that. As the 8 years have gone and we've done stuff like this, I share those verses with a lot of people. But trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. I mean, that just says it all to me. It's my favorite.
And would you want to make any comments on the passages or one of the passages you read?
Oh, yeah. When I read these, I mean, I saw a lot of things, but the main thing I saw was faith. In our Old Testament reading, faith that the Lord will make Zion not the forsaken city anymore, but the city of God's delight. In the Psalm, for Israel to have hope and faith in the Lord. But the biggest was Paul's faith that the Lord led him and protected him while all this was going on, as he was able to testify for his story. And when you think about it, it was ingenious the way it worked out, because he had his chance to testify to King Agrippa, to Festus. He probably had done this with the Sadducees and the Pharisees, but he had the court and he had the opening to do that. And I think the Lord led that all the way.
And that connects really well with your life verse, where we talk about trusting in the Lord. Mm-hmm. Okay, Vince, I love to hear you sing. I have so enjoyed this podcast, but I'm wondering if at the end you might sing for us.
I'll do a little short thing.
Okay, good.
Yeah, and it all comes back to praise and faith. And I thought this was really appropriate, knowing that Thanksgiving's coming up. And it all takes me back to something we do every Sunday with the doxology. And Thomas Ken was an Anglican bishop in the 1600s that wrote this. I really thought this had scriptural basis, and its meaning does, but there's not a scripture that says this. He wrote this. But I just want to share that. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.